Hi, this is the Social Jello with Angelo show. My name's Angelo. I'm a social scientist, surfer, martial artist, and a whole lot of other things. Coming to you live from Kasai City, Japan, the Social Jello with Angelo show.
What's up? And welcome to another episode of Social Jello with Angelo podcast. As you saw in the title, when is it okay, if ever, to self-promote? And you should see a thumbnail there of William Chow and maybe even James Mitose, if I found the right pictures. And you're asking yourself, what's going on with these two? Who are these two? Well, to find out who William Chow is, go ahead and click onto this video here. It'll take you to a whole history thing that I did with Mitch Powell. Mitose, I know a lot of you Kempo guys have been asking me to do one on Mitose, and it is coming. I'll tell you that right now. I have our Kaji Kempo historian who's going to do an episode. I don't have a link to it yet because it hasn't come out yet. But it is coming out in February, so keep an eye out for that to learn more about James Mitose. This episode really isn't. I have them on there because there's been rumors, allegedly, let's say that. And for those of you who are tuning in for the first time, the two people I just mentioned are Kempo, people that are founders of the style of Kempo Karate. Now, there's been rumors that William Chow self-promoted. There's also been rumors that Mitose self-promoted. So before we even go, I use these two as an example, but they're not the only two. And if you go on the internet, you'll find a slew of people who have done this. And again, they may or may have not done this. I'll say that right off the bat. So for any of you who started watching this thinking that I was going to help you discover the truth between the history of these two, that's not what this is about. But I will say that I've already seen a video come out of a Brazilian jiu-jitsu artist who self-promoted, who was under Hickson Gracie. And his story was that when he joined Hickson Gracie a long time ago, he felt as an American that he was being excluded from what was happening. And Hickson was really open to the Brazilians. And as an American back then, he felt like he was excluded. Whether he was right or wrong, I don't know. But at the end of the day, this dude self-promoted himself. Like he only got to, I believe, purple belt. And then he decided to self-promote himself to black belt, I think it was. Yeah, he self-promoted himself. Yeah. Yeah. So his name is Roland. Is that right? If I got it right. I think it was Sadia. Yeah, Roland Sadia. And he said he claims that Hickson Gracie's back then was like a cult, and his excuse, or maybe reason, I'm not going to try to judge here, but why am I going here? Because people might say, oh, it's because it's bullshito. Only bullshito artists self-promote themselves is what you might be telling yourself. Only bullshito artists self-promote themselves. But this guy's a legit dude. I mean, Saria actually competed in IBJJF tournaments, won a few championships in his divisions. And he finally decided after beating enough higher ranks and leaving Hickson and not wanting to join another academy that he'd promote himself to black belt. Is that okay? I don't know. I don't know if that's okay. I'm just a podcast host and I'm also a brown belt coach in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and a black belt instructor in Kaji Kembo and MMA coach. But I don't try to get into politics. But when this kind of stuff happens, I do bring in experts, and I have today Andy Henson. Did I say that right?
Yep.
You got it. All right. Cool. I'm getting better at this. Who's coming out of the East Coast. He's also a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt and Kempo black belt. And he has his program. What's the name of your program again, man?
I teach at the Jamerson YMCA. It's Jamerson YMCA Martial Arts. I've been teaching there for, 22 years. Long time.
Right. So we're just going to turn over this topic over to Andy because – it was Andy's idea to talk about this. So I kind of want to get Andy's input. So what do you think? Self-promotion, is it okay? Not okay?
Man, it's a really sketchy area. I don't know about promoting yourself to black when there are teachers available. But again, I don't know this guy. I think I heard about that. I mean, if he's been training a long time, and especially if he's competing and he's beating other black belts, I mean, there's a lot of politics involved. when I got the idea and reached out to you about it, it was mainly, I mean, we're Kempo guys. I like to joke with you about it, but I'm basically East Coast Kaiju Kembo. It was Kaiju Kembo in Hawaii, went to California. Some of those guys went to the East Coast and made Karazempo Go Shinjutsu. And then some of those guys went on, like taught Nick Sirio's Kempo, then Fred Villari made Shaolin Kempo, which we'll get into. So that's a whole other thing. So I like to joke and say basically it's East Coast Kaiju Kembo. But it's just a lot of politics and the degrees and everything. I don't know the guy. Again, that's interesting with jiu-jitsu because there's so many different affiliations he could go to. If he was under Hickson, he could go to another one of Hickson's brothers or cousins, and I'm sure they would test him or evaluate him. But I don't know his situation. But I do know in Kempo, like all of us, again, we weren't there, but most of those guys self-promoted themselves. I mean, all the Kaiju Kembo guys, I'm hearing now, like from your podcast and a few other guys, that a lot of the five guys that made Kaiju Kembo, I don't even think a couple of them were black belts. I think they were brown belts when they made
Yeah,
Kaiju Kembo.
I'll try to tag that here too, so anyone who wants to try to catch up to that. The history is interesting because Mitch Powell, the historian, has talked about how a lot of people say that Kaju Kembo was founded in 1947. And then and all the paperwork that Mitch Powell has, which is paperwork that was handed to him down to him by the Imperato family. So it's not just like stuff he found randomly. Okay, this is stuff that was handed over by the family because he was appointed as KSDI's official historian. And in the paperwork he has, there's no documents that say, all the documents that he has that he's holding on to show that everyone, they were all white belts. And I think there was a white belt and maybe a brown belt, and it was all in Danzanryu Jiu-Jitsu. So like, and then they were all at that point students of Chow at that point. So there's no, they said if Kaju Kembo was founded in 1947, it wasn't founded by black belts at that point in time. It's not until the later 50s that everybody has their black belts, but it happens pretty quickly. And whenever I start look asking those kind of questions, it looks like people start getting their black belts like again a year or two. Like it's a real quick timeline, which compared to now, if you're a Kempoist watching this, most people, I don't know. I guess it depends what Kempo school you go to, but I've seen as short as 2 years and as long as 16 years, depending on which Kempo school you go to, how long it takes to get your black belt. So on average, I would say most schools probably anywhere between 4 and 8 years
That's
for a
what I
black belt,
think. I
for a
think
black belt in Kempo is what I've seen. 2 years is a
yeah.
little short, but it
Yeah.
happens.
Yes, I mean, with those guys, you don't, again, we weren't there, so we don't know their history. And the whole promoting thing is kind of crazy anyway. Like boxing and wrestling, there's really no rank. You're either a coach or you're not, and they don't sit around. It's kind of funny we're even having this conversation. It's like just so we can get an extra stripe on our belt. But a lot of it comes down to business. But as far as the Kempo guys, it's like somebody gets a black belt, then they make their own system, and now they're 10th degree black belt. And that's kind of it's happened for years. I mean, what got me into the history searching about Kaiju Kembo was I wanted to know where the stuff that I was doing was coming from. I got my black belt in Shaolin Kempo from under the Fred Villari lineage. And according to the history, Fred Villari, depending on who you ask, he got his either first or second degree black belt from Nick Sirio, who actually learned Karazempo, Go Shinjutsu. And then he took a few things and added it and made Nick Sirio's Kempo, and he taught Villari. And supposedly Villari got e either his first or second, again, depending on who you ask. Claims he went to Asia, trained with a bunch of people, made up all this material from first degree and then up to 10th degree, promoted himself to 10th degree and made the Shaolin Kempo system. And that's, I was just asking you about it if you wanted to do a podcast about this, because there's a lot of guys were kind of like orphaned black belts. Like my teacher's an orphan black belt. I got a bunch of friends who are, where they either have like maybe a disagreement with their teacher, their master, whatever you want to call it, for financial reasons. Maybe the teacher just doesn't teach anymore. Maybe the teacher passed away and then you're just stuck at this rank forever. And what I've always been told, I know jiu-jitsu has their own timeline, but generally for most karate systems, Kenpo included, you earn your black belt, and then generally from first to second degree is like a minimum of 2 years. Whatever degree you're going for, it's minimum that many years of active training. You know, not like some of these guys, they'll get their black belt and they quit training, and then you talk to them, oh, I'm a black belt. Oh, do you still train? No, but I got my black belt 20 years ago. Well, nah, if you ain't training, if you're not maintaining, sorry, you may have earned it, but I don't consider you a black belt unless you're active training. So again, like if you're trying to, as long as you're being active and you're contributing to your art, you know, you're actively training, maybe hopefully teaching, maybe you have an academy or you're helping a teacher at his or her academy, you know, 2 years of active training to second degree. Once you get your second degree, then it's a minimum 3 years to your third degree. That's what I was always told. Now, for Brazilian jiu-jitsu, what the Gracies came up with, and most jiu-jitsu schools go with this, in jiu-jitsu, when you get your black belt, you're not a first degree black belt. You're just a black belt. To get your first stripe is another 3 years. To get your first, second, and third stripes are each 3 years. And then I believe fourth, fifth, and sixth stripe are 5 years per stripe. I don't know what it is for seventh, eighth, ninth. You know, by then you're like 70 years old or more. But that's the timeline there. So just a lot of these guys, all of a sudden they go from like first or second to 10th degree because they made their own system. I think that's kind of cheesy. But if you're out there, like my teacher, he's a great guy, Master Ken Longacre. You know, he's kind of like an orphaned black belt. Time-wise, he should be eighth degree black belt, but he's never had anyone been able to give him those stripes. So he's still got the belt with his fifth, and he's a cool guy. He's going to watch this. He's going to be like, ah, Andy, I don't care about the stripes, which he doesn't, because it's, you know, it doesn't really matter in the end. But technically, time-wise, he should be an eighth degree black belt. And that's just why I had this idea. I think the whole idea of like all of a sudden, you know, I made my own system. I'm 10th degree grandmaster. I think that's kind of cheesy. But for those of us out there who are active, we're working hard, we're out there training every day, we're contributing to our art, it shouldn't be that big of a deal if, say, you're, you know, whatever, you're a second degree, and in 3 years, as long as you're actively contributing, you put an extra stripe on your belt, now you're a third degree. You know, and I know some guys might disagree, but again, with like boxing and wrestling, they don't even have that stuff. You know, a lot of it also comes down to business, because there's a lot of, sorry, I hate to say it, but crappy martial arts schools where you see every teacher there is a master, and they're like fourth, fifth, sixth degree black belt, and they're like 25 years old. And
I just feel it's kind of like when at that point, I feel it's turning into some sort of dick measuring contest. Because I'm like, really, like you just said, right? And that's why I opened it up with that story of Brazilian jiu-jitsu, because I don't think I think there should be a distinction, and you said it right away, there should be a distinction between black belt and then stripes on your belt. And that's like two different conversations. So I started the podcast saying, oh, you know, the idea of self-promoting yourself. But the reason I brought that jiu-jitsu example is just to let you know that self-promotions happen in several arts. And a lot of the jiu-jitsu guys, and I'm a jiu-jitsu guy, but I say I'm not a
Same here.
stylist. I don't only belong to one martial arts style. I don't A lot of the jiu-jitsu community tends to have a high nose and look down on all the other martial arts. I'm just going to put that out there. They are. They think they are the best. And I'm not going to unequivocally say that they don't have a great system. They have an awesome system. I'm not knocking on their system. But they do tend to act like, oh, all those other problems are other people's problems, not our problems, because we're the best. But I opened it up with that because I want to say that any, doesn't matter what style you belong to, this shit happens at different levels. I'm sure there's someone throwing stripes on their own black belt in Brazilian jiu-jitsu too. I'm sure if I looked it up, I'd find it. I'm sure I would. I'm sure I would. I'm sure it happens.
Well, nobody
And
even really knows, like, if Carlos and Elio, there's rumor that they never got their black belts from anybody. You know, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu came from Kodokan Judo. Nobody knows if they really got their black belts from anybody from Judo. They just trained, and you know, Elio did all those challenge matches, and he earned it. and they created their own system, then therefore they got the black belts. And then years later, I mean, Elio didn't like the way jujitsu went, so he went back to wearing his blue belt.
It's coral, yeah, it's coral belt. So the interesting thing about Helio, and same thing happened with Sambo, is Count, what's his name? I almost referenced Star Wars. I almost said Count Dooku,
Count Dooku.
which I know is not right. But judo, dude, so like I think it was oh man, it's so there's Maeda, right? There's Maeda. There's Maeda. And then Maeda was like the first judo guy. And Maeda is always mentioned when you talk about Brazilian jiu-jitsu, right? And he's tied to one more guy, and I forgot his last name. I was looking at the history. I'm not, and this is why I always tell people, I'm not a history guy. Don't come to me for history because I'll fuck up the names every time. But I want to say it was like it might have been Maeda himself. It might have been Count Maeda. But either way, Maeda had a political position. That's what it really comes down to. Maeda had a political position, and he would travel the world. So Maeda has been known to teach judo to a lot of people. He taught judo to Brazilians. He taught judo to Russians. He taught judo to Ted Roosevelt. Is somehow connected to Maeda bringing judo because he was a political guy. So he's at the White House, right? So he's doing politics for Japan, and he's teaching judo to a bunch of people. And he'd teach him a few moves, and then he'd leave. And so for Brazilian jiu-jitsu, as the story goes, he taught some stuff and then he left and he came back. And when he came back, it was no longer judo, it was Brazilian jiu-jitsu. And he gave it the okay. He was like, yeah, sounds good. Like, he's right on. And he did the same for Sambo. Yeah, sounds good, guys. Like, good job. Yeah, keep doing that. It's spreading the art. And so the Kodokan did end up accepting them later. But the idea of self-promotion is interesting because, like, I you're right. I think it happens more in Kenpo than it does in other styles. I will say that because I don't know how many times I've seen some person get promoted to black belt and then a year later they're a grandmaster, and they're usually in some other country. So they're usually in some other country where there's no regulation or organization to kind of look over them. So it's kind of a, and there's a lot of politics involved when they're in another
Oh, big
country
time.
because there's money involved. Like they'll get more money if they have a higher rank.
Politics and money. That's
So
one of
like.
the big deals.
So that's why they'll self-promote themselves to grandmaster. I know there's rumors of a guy in Kuwait who did that in Kaju Kenbo for money. And it happens. I'm not gonna mention any names. But what I will say is, like you said earlier, touching on that point, wrestling, boxing, kickboxing, all these effective martial arts don't have a ranking system. And I've already talked about on the show, and if you want to see that. I had Grandmaster, there's a title, but he's legit. I had Grandmaster Kenji come on here, and he came on and talked about whether we should abolish the titles altogether. And if you want to see that, check out there. We're not talking about that, but I will say that there is something to saying that if you do wrestling or boxing or whatever, if you're kickboxing, wrestling, even MMA, these are effective martial arts. Well, I'll say aside from MMA. I'm going to take MMA out of that. Boxing, kickboxing, and wrestling are effective martial arts that have no ranking system. And to become a coach in wrestling, the qualifications are, you don't have to sit there for years. They're pretty easy. You wrestled, and you go from wrestling to becoming a coach. And both those things happen pretty quickly. If you're wrestling in high school, most likely by the time you're a senior. If you started wrestling as a freshman, by the time you're a senior, you're already coaching the freshman. That's usually how it works. And even if you're a sophomore, it's kind of like a senior junior coaching system going on. And usually by the time you become a senior, you're kind of an unsaid assistant wrestling coach. And they don't really have a, I'm sure there's certificates involved and I'm down for some associations for wrestling, but for the most part, it's kind of a in-house thing. And there's no, they don't wear ranks. And then once you become a coach,
You're
it's
just a coach.
done. You're just a coach. It's done. You get a certificate. If you go through a certain association, depending on your style of wrestling, this only comes up when you're looking for a job. So if you apply to a junior to a high school program or a college's program, or maybe an MMA program to apply as a coach, they're going to ask you for your certificates, and you're going to say, "Hey, here's my coaching certificate." And that's it. Now, how many years have you been doing it? Right on. Where did you teach? Okay, that's it. Boxing, even less. Boxing and kickboxing, even less so. And I want to say those sports, they have a sport element to it in their martial art, is a little different from what's happening in Kenpo and Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu now too, because it's interesting. Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu is a really interesting one because there's a huge sport element to it. Well, Kenpo doesn't have that much of a sport element to it. So to me, when you say, oh, if I've been doing this for so many years, what's the big deal if I throw a stripe on it? My counter argument is, what's the big deal if you don't? Yeah, you can, why not? Like, I don't care. But honestly, to the other side of that, who cares? In the greater aspect of things, me being a fourth degree black belt in Kagyu-Kenbo means absolutely nothing to the general public. So all the general
Sometimes it
public,
does. Sometimes to like
I don't
mommy
know.
and daddy who are bringing like in America more. I know you live in Japan, but a lot of schools like the because I know in Japan they treat rank differently. They have kids black belts. They look at black belt differently. Where over here it's like you're a black belt. You're like this like a Jedi like you were talking about earlier. In Japan they don't look at it that way. Black belt, which is as it should be, is like the beginner level. Like you've kind of you know all your basics, and now it's time to really get to it and get to training. But around here, and you've got all these schools where there's like 25-year-old, fifth degree black, but everybody's a master. And then somebody comes to your school. Most parents don't know anything about any martial arts. Like they don't know if I'm teaching their kid Gracie Jiu-Jitsu, Kempo Karate, or Beef Broccoli. They have no idea. They just want their kid to do some physical activity and some kind of martial art. And if they go down the street and this dude's got all these stripes and like maybe he's younger, then they go to you and you're older. Oh, well, why does he have more stripes on his belt? He must be better. It's just kind of weird, but really it doesn't matter. But it's just like with the Kenpo stuff, especially like you mentioned about William Chow. There's years ago, William Chow, like he promoted himself from 10th to 15th degree black belt because he said if everybody else is 10th, the professor is 15th.
So yeah, and then like so the funny thing about that, here's the funny thing about that, like the so a lot of the promotions that happen in Hawaii would sometimes be validated by the martial arts community there. And I'm being very picky about my words because I again I'm not a historian. Any historian watching this and be like, oh, he said the wrong association. He said the wrong society. But I will say there was a group of Chinese martial artists in Chinatown. I forgot the name of their association. And they're actually the ones who promoted Kagyu-Kenbo, Eduan Imperado to, and I forgot which one. It's like one of the higher ranking ones, like eighth, ninth, or something, maybe even 10th. And they're also maybe even 10th around there. And they're also the ones that are kind of behind the idea of him ending up with the title of Seijo. So, like, in Kagyu-Kenbo, only he can be a Seijo. But then, out of nowhere, every so once in a while, some guy will self-promote themselves to 10th degree and call themselves Seijo. And they'll get a letter from KSDI and BOA saying, you can't call yourself Seijo. You can't be in Kagyu-Kenbo and call yourself Seijo. You want to leave and do your own thing. That's your thing. We can't tell you what to do once you're gone. But again, this goes back to the original idea of what you just said. Is any of this relevant? And you're saying it is. You're saying, hey, I have parents who come in and I'm a fourth degree because I'm following the rules. And then the other Kenpo school across the street has a 24-year-old whose grandmaster, I'm not really sure who he is, where he came from. And he sounds like he might be one of those guys that called himself Seijo, left his association and started promoting all his students to fifth, seventh, eighth degree with no one. Just handing them out like hotcakes. So,
And
and
when
they're
I
not.
say this, I don't care. Like, again, with the rank, I'm just like my teacher, Master Ken. He's like, I don't care. I'm good with the rank, whatever. But also, it comes down to it's weird in the martial arts. You know how this is, especially in Kenpo. Why should I have to go pay some grandmaster $500 to $1,000, which is a lot of what these tests cost, to get one of those guys to watch me do some techniques or do a kata or whatever, spar or break a board, so he can say I'm worthy to wear, get this extra stripe on my belt. You know, it's just kind of ridiculous how much that costs, you know, especially in Kempo, because I've seen it a lot, you know, $500 to $1,000 for these.
I grab your Kempo and I up you Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. So in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, the only way I'm going to keep getting stripes, I've been doing Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu since I was 25. And one thing that I've noticed about Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, one thing that I think Kempo and even Kaju Kempo to some degree are a little more open to the idea that if I were to move, if I were to leave, let's say I'm in California and I get to a certain degree under my instructor, and then I go to Arizona, I can easily have my instructor contact that instructor, and then they'll equal out my rank, whatever rank that was, and they'll talk it out. And they're pretty good at negotiating this.
Yeah.
And it's not going to cost me that much more money. So, and if I'm a black belt, even then, if I'm a black belt, I'm kind of always my instructor's black belt, unless we have a split. And even then, I can talk to my instructor, talk to the new instructor, and I can go under someone else. It's frowned upon, but it can happen in the black belt ranks. But in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, I got stuck at white belt like forever because they don't do that. Like some of them do, some of them don't. The associations are different associations.
Yeah.
So like I did Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu when I was 25, and because I did no-gi, then guess what? None of it counts.
Yeah.
None of it counts. Wow. So I did no-gi Jiu-Jitsu from 25 to 35 for 10 years. And they, none of that counts. And when I finally walked into gi Jiu-Jitsu, I'm like, okay, you know, I'm ready to finally, I'll throw the gi on and let's see what's up. And they're like, yeah, so what do you want me to start me as? And I didn't care. I've been doing BJJ for 10 years. And because it was through MMA, it was always a side program in the MMA programs I was in. And we never wore gis. We never had ranks. The people teaching us did have black belts, but they weren't doing ranks because it was all for MMA. And for some reason, they weren't counting any of it. And and then if you switch in that system, then you're really kind of just bouncing around with no rank the whole time. And I've seen this happen in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu with the whole they call it the Ronin, the guy who comes in, he's only in an academy for about a year, gets like two or three stripes, goes to the next academy. The next academy may or may not honor those two or three stripes, but if he doesn't stick around for more than a year, they always want to keep you there for a year before they get you to two. They actually want to keep you for a year or two before they get you to blue belt, right? So you go through that system. So by the time I stepped in, they said, okay, fine, we're going to start you off as a white belt. I'm like, all right, sounds good. And after about 2 months of rolling, they realized real quick I was tapping their black belts. They're like, okay, all right, let's switch things up. Let's, because our system doesn't allow you to free roll until you have three stripes. So we're going to slap three stripes on your belt real quick so you can free roll. All right, sounds good. So I held on to a three-stripe white belt for 2 years before I got to blue. And I practiced, and I was competing back then, so I was practicing 3 to 5 times a week. And then they refused to count any training I did outside. So if I came into class 3 times and I trained at a different academy 2 times, they wouldn't count those 2 times.
It doesn't sound right, man.
So this, I'm just saying. And this happened. I'm not going to name any schools. This happened at a Gracie Academy. It was not going to say which one. I'm not going to say which one. You guys watching can try to guess. But I wasn't at a flim-flam school. I was at an internationally recognized Gracie school. And this is what they did. And again, I was told by my instructor, don't ever argue. My Kaju Kempo instructor told me, don't ever argue with the judges. Don't ever argue with your coach. Don't ever argue with your superiors. So I didn't argue. Whatever. I'm here to train. Whatever.
Yeah.
So I kept doing that for another 8 years. So now we're at 18 years. Now we're about 18 years. And I eventually left that academy, went under to the people I'm under right now, because the biggest discrepancy became when I started coaching and they were saying I couldn't coach. And that's when I said I had to go. Now, so what does this have to do with self-promoting and all this other stuff? So I've been doing the timeline And I'm not going to ask for rank. And what does it have to do with money? Well, it has everything to do with money because I have to pay association fees. Once I left that Gracie school and I said, hey, I want to continue to teach Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu in Japan, they were like, well, they're all about, well, did you win a championship? No, not in Japan. I won a few championships outside of Japan. I almost got signed for a professional venue in Nogi, but none of that really matters to a Japanese person. They look at your wall, they're looking for belts, and they're looking for trophies. And I didn't, and I threw most of them away when I moved over from America to Japan. I threw all my trophies away and I handed them out because I didn't want to travel them. So I started all over again. I came to Japan. I think I got like two trophies out here, one in kickboxing and one in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. And so, okay, money. So I pay a lot of money for my association. And again, I'm not going to mention the one I'm in because I don't want to throw them under the bus. But I will say I'm under a very large association now. And I pay them money every year to be in that association. And rank, every time I test, I pay money to test. I pay money and I have to go in and I have to test. And all my students have to pay association fees. And that's just how most Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu places work. And when I contacted other Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu instructors, yep, pretty much, I'm a brown belt. And when I talked to my instructor about it, he's like, yeah, that's pretty much how it's going to work forever. Unless you want to split. Like, unless you want to split, okay, then, well, when can you split in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu? Well, in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, in Japan, I don't know what's going on anywhere else. In Japan, you can't own and have your own academy until you're a three-stripe black belt.
Oh, wow.
And those stripes come at a cost. Whether, and then we can go into a long conversation on whether you have paying for a promotion is a McDojo aspect or not. Let's say you don't. Let's say your academy doesn't do the, you have to pay to test and promote. Let's say they get rid of that and it's not what you, some of people are calling them a dojo business model. Let's get rid of that. Well, you're still paying. You're still paying an association fee. If you're in, if you're under another academy, they're forcing you to compete in Japan. You have to compete. You have no choice. So you have to compete and you're probably competing two or three times a month. They make you compete a lot. If they can, they'll have you competing every weekend. And if you're not competing, your students are competing. You're forcing people to compete. That's a lot of money. Each competition costs about $100 and about $200 in transportation. So you're talking about $300 per competition, and they're making you compete at least minimum once a month. That's $300 a month. That's $3,000. That's over $3,000 a year just to compete. So even if you didn't have to pay for that promotion, even if you're okay, fine. Oh, they're being reasonable and it's not a McDojo. You're getting the real practice and the real jiu-jitsu. You're still paying $3,000 a year just to be in that sport, just to be considered legit in that sport. So to me, I don't see the difference between that and turning around to a Kempo master. And actually, it's cheaper. If I just go to a, if you're telling me I can go do some kata and for $500 I can get a stripe on my belt, like business wise, it's cheaper to do the kata, even though I hate kata, it's cheaper to do the kata.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's crazy. Wow. Man. Yeah, it's just, it's a lot of business, just money and just ego, just mainly with the Kempo. I mean, jiu-jitsu, you know, I just got my black belt in Gracie Jiu-Jitsu 2.5 years ago. So technically I'll be eligible for my first stripe in June. And that's up to my instructor, Ben Rhodes. He's under Pedro Sauer. You know, if I get my first stripe or not, that's up to him. But it just doesn't, I've never heard of that much of like a business aspect in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, but I know in Kempo, from my 20 some years in Kempo, it's just so much of that where like, you pay some big grandmaster just to watch you do your stuff so he can say, yeah, you can get this stripe.
I should probably clarify, because if my instructors, if my Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu instructor is watching, he's like, I don't do that. He doesn't do that. That's what I was saying.
This is the old group you're with.
Yeah, this is the old group I was in, and most Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu schools in Japan are doing things that way, which is why I dipped out to my instructor, who is giving me a great deal for my association fees. And his only requirement is to teach. So are you teaching? He goes on my Instagram and my Facebook. Okay, yep. He's teaching two or three lessons a week. He's teaching. Good job. The end. Like, it's pretty cut and dry. But still, is it cut and dry? Going back to what you said, $500 for the next stripe. Why do I do any of this? I don't do this for the stripes. Like you said, wrestling doesn't have it. In Brazilian jiu-jitsu, if I keep doing this, I'm technically at forced. I'm because the system I'm in has a an instructor's certificate, so the instructor is considered four stripe brown belt. But because I didn't want to piss off the other Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu Association, I left because I left as a purple belt and then got promoted to four stripe brown. I didn't want to wear the four stripes because I knew a thousand questions would come up. So I just wear a plain brown belt and stay quiet about this stuff. But technically, I'm at four stripe brown belt. So if I keep doing this long enough, I'll get the black belt. But I keep doing this and I pay association fees, which become a lot more money than your $500. That's what I'm trying to say. Like, we bitch about these things, like, oh, the stripes, and should you self-promote? And what's the ethical considerations to have in self-promotion? And what I'm wondering is it ego? Maybe some people, I don't know, no, is it ego? I'll answer this. I'll answer my own question. For many of these guys, it is totally ego. Like, I'm a 10th degree now. But I'm wondering how many of these guys get caught up in that. And it's not ego. It's just, like you said, I'm sick of having people tell me that the guy next door has eight stripes and why there's a discrepancy there. But you were saying about Kenpo. Sorry, I interrupted you.
Oh, that was it. Just with the Kenpo, just from my 20 plus years in Kenpo, it's just you see it a lot, and I don't know. I just don't really. Again, if you're an orphaned black belt, if your teacher doesn't want to teach anymore or he's passed on, how do you get your rank? And I found there's groups you can join, and again, you have to pay the fees. And then pay the head of that group to watch you do your stuff so he and a board of other guys can split the money and say, yeah, okay, you can, here's your stripe. And so, I mean, it'd be cool with me to get rid of all, once you get to black belt, you're a black belt. That's cool with me. With jiu-jitsu, it took me 10 years to get my black belt in Gracie Jiu-Jitsu, which is the average. And I'm excited about that. I'm happy with that for the rest of my life. If I get the other stripes, awesome. But this is not a cocky thing. Most people won't get their black belt in Gracie Jiu-Jitsu or Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, because it's
Interesting.
hard. It takes a long time. I'm 53 years old. I didn't even start until I was like 40 or 41. I'd done other martial arts since I was a kid, but that was
And
hard.
the thing is, and why am I saying this? Like, it sounds like we started this episode and it sounds like we're bagging on Campo, but and then it might even sound like we're bagging on Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, but I think what I'm trying to get at, what I'm trying to insinuate here is this might just be like a traditional martial arts thing. Like, and that's why I'm bringing Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu as an example. Like, okay, well, I grab your Kenpo and Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu is essentially doing the same thing. Like, you're still paying a lot of money. Like, it's happening in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. If I want to continue to rank, I still have to pay an association. I still have to go under a board of people. I'm not performing kata. I'm performing something that's a lot. I'm gonna piss off some Kenpo people here, but it's something that's a lot more difficult. Like,
Oh yeah,
they're gonna
totally.
make me roll. Like, there's the test is I have to actually sit there and spar and roll and perform and show that I know these techniques. And there's like hundreds of Brazilian jiu-jitsu techniques, and I have to show them under pressure and all that stuff. Plus, I have to pay a lot of money. So like.
What really got me thinking about it with the Kempo, we're both Kempo, Kajakembo lineage guys. Our whole system is made from pretty much from dudes who self-promoted themselves. Especially me coming from the Shaolin Kempo side with Fred Villari, who, again, depending on who you ask, he self-promoted himself from either first or second degree from Nick Sirio to 10th degree. Made a system. I mean, I've been told by a lot of different masters that, he, like Villari claimed that he trained with Shaolin monks in Asia and got all these techniques, and nobody can verify that. And
And how do
some of the techniques are good, but they're all variations of stuff you get from white to black. And it's like there's so much, all the material. Another good idea for a podcast for you would be like all this black belt material. Like it's like the dangling carrot. Like for your third degree, you got to know this kata. and this many self-defense techniques. We don't need 500 self-defense techniques. We need our basics and our conditioning and actively training. That's what you need. You know, it's just like, you know, a lot of the Kempo guys, I love Kempo. I love Kempo. I love Gracie Jiu-Jitsu. But it's like, you know, does it really matter? Like, you know, we're paying someone. Our whole lineage, pretty much, like I said, is people who self-promoted themselves. So why do we have to pay some grandmaster 500 to a grand to let him watch to say that we're worthy to wear this extra stripe on our belt that really doesn't help us at all? It just helps if mommy and daddy come in your dojo and say, hey, what rank are you? Then you don't have to get into, well, time-wise, I should be, you know, what degree black belt are you? Time-wise, I should be a fourth degree, but I'm not under an association, so I'm just a black belt. Oh, well, the guy down the road has got six stripes on his belt. Does that mean he's better than you? When really it doesn't. Maybe he is, maybe he isn't. Especially if he's like, you know, again, a grandmaster who's like 25 years old.
Have you had a parent say that though?
Yeah, I've had parents ask because it's mainly the parents who don't know anything.
Yeah. So you've actually had parents ask you about that. That's interesting. Because I taught in America. I taught Kwashi Kempo in America for about 4 or 5 years. About 4 or 5 years, I taught Kwashi Kempo. So I taught a type of Kempo in America. And I never had anyone ask.
Yeah, I've had a few.
I never had anyone
mainly,
ask.
Mainly people more interested in karate. That's why, like, you know, you were asking me for your students, do you give them separate ranks? I teach them Kempo along with the Gracie Jiu-Jitsu curriculum. And when I do the Gracie curriculum, I have the kids belt system, then the teen adults, you know, white, blue, purple, brown, black, you know, 3 to 6 months per stripe. Because I hate to say this, I love Kempo, I love karate. But the way a lot of schools teach it, it doesn't hold weight anymore. It doesn't hold its value. Where a Jiu-Jitsu belt, as of now, still holds its value. You know, people look at it and like, oh, he or she's worked hard to earn that belt. Whereas if it's a karate school, you never really know if the person's worked hard to earn the belt. They could be forking over test fees every 6 weeks, getting their belt, and they get their black belt in 2 years. And it's like, eh. Yeah, that's what kind of brought on this whole thing. That and the whole, like, most everybody in Kempo is like a self-promoted master, grandmaster. They get their black belt from this guy. They add a few techniques. This is my system. Now I'm 10th degree black belt. And it's like, okay. I think that's cheesy.
And I think that's definitely I've never seen that. The closest thing I can say, and that's why I opened up the podcast with that guy that went from, I think it was purple to black. And it was after he was competing. And he was wearing, I think, a brown belt or something. He was competing in the black belt division. And finally someone asked him, hey, where'd you get your black belt? And then he said, and that's what he said, he self-promoted himself. But he was beating people. But either way, that's the closest thing I can think of in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Not to say it's probably not happening, but I feel it's more common in Kempo. I've seen it more in Kempo.
Oh, yeah.
And then in Kwashi Kempo, I can say for my lineage, not happening. Where I'm coming from, not happening. My instructor, Professor Ronnie Isagiri, has gone through the board of the BOA. So he's really officially tied to the Kwashi Kempo associations.
Yeah.
And I'm making that very clear. So anyone thinking that, so if everyone's self-promoting, that means Angelo's instructor self-promoting. No, I'll be very clear in saying that my instructor has gone through all the associations. Those people on those boards, they all went through the proper channels. Now, where things get really shaky is when we go back way back to those people in Hawaii. That's where things get kind of shaky.
Exactly.
That's what things get kind of weird. Like and that's why I want to do that Mitose episode. Mm-hmm. Things get kind of weird as far as if you're the first person to create a style, obviously you're who is going to promote you? You know,
exactly.
So like, who is going to promote you for the first person? And then that's when you're talking about, oh, I'm leaving my style and I'm going to be the founder of my own style. Well, then if you're the founder of your own style, who's to say you can't say your 10th degree or whatever degrees you decide to put on your belt? Yeah. Now that's where things get really weird. But what I can say is for me, I'm at fourth degree in Kwashi Kempo and I'm happy to be there. forever. Honestly,
yeah,
I don't really care.
Same here. I'll just start thinking about it with all the where we come from.
If my instructor decides to do what he's going to do, that's his business, not mine. That's not up to me. And then, as far as Brazilian jiu-jitsu, you know, I hate to say it, I'm caring less and less and less every year. It means less to me.
Time-wise, you should already be a black belt.
It's meaning less and less. Like, there really isn't going to be, because I told you, in Japan, it's third degree before I can open my own academy. And it's really expensive. Each stripe comes with a certain amount of years of association fees. And I'm just doing, if I look at it from a business perspective, I'm spending a lot of money to get there, to finally get there and be like, okay, I got my third stripe finally. All right. Thank you to all the associations involved. I appreciate you being there.
Is the Japanese association type thing covering this?
No, I'm going through a Brazilian. I'm going through a Brazilian association.
Wow,
this.
Man.
And again, do I have to do that? Technically, no. But Japan.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
When a Japanese person walks in, those are the first few questions they're going to ask me. When another Brazilian jiu-jitsu instructor comes in, the first question they're going to ask me as a brown belt or even a black belt is, who's your instructor?
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't recognize that person, they'll immediately assume that I'm one of those American frauds.
Yeah.
So to avoid being called a fraudulent instructor, I'm in an association.
Yeah.
So like,
I mean, there's a video of Hickson from it's probably 4 or 5 years ago now, but he's teaching a seminar and Horion, his older brother, and a bunch of his other brothers and cousins come in. Horion awards Hickson one of the higher ranking belts because he said he's been wearing the belt he has too long and he deserves a new belt. And Hickson looks really surprised and shocked, and he thanks him, thank you, my brother, and all this. But then you come to find out he doesn't wear it for a few years because he's like, I have not met the timeline. I'm not the right age to wear this belt that my brother gave me, even though my brother is basically the head of the family now. He still wouldn't wear the belt. And I think it was like 2 or 3 more years until he was a certain age. Because he's like, I haven't been at my belt long enough. So no self-promotion there. That's pretty interesting.
But. Yeah. So like, and again, so like for me, since I looked at it and I said, well, if you're telling me when I get the black belt, I'm still going to be in the same circumstance I'm in, which is not a bad circumstance. Okay.
Yeah.
I talked to other Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu Academy owners, and their association fees are way higher. Mm-hmm. I am not paying that much in the greater scheme of things. I know people who pay a lot more. So I'm not complaining on that end. But if things aren't going to be different, then why do I care? That's where I'm at. I have a torn LCL, torn ACL, a torn shoulder. I'm 43 this next week. I have this neck thing. I got more injuries than I can count. Arthritis in this finger from breaking it specifically in gi jiu-jitsu against who was that guy? He was a black belt judo champion, national champion, and also a Brazilian jiu-jitsu IBJJF champion. And he was really upset that I put him in a chokehold. So I ended up breaking my finger because I wasn't going to let it go. I really wanted to tap him that day. And I was, and he was one of those guys. He came to that academy and he got promoted real quick because they liked him.
Yeah.
And whatever, I don't care. So like, again, I got all these injuries. So I'm not competing anymore. I'm not going to compete anymore. I said this to my wife. I said this to myself. I'm not going to, like, you know, a student was asking me the other day. He's like, how come they don't compete? Like, if, you know, he's like, oh, you're so, you know how your students are. The students look at you like you're some sort of god. And I'm always trying to remind them, dude, I got this injury, that injury. When you do this long enough, you're already stronger than me. You're just missing a few small technical things. Once you get that, you'll be beating me in no time. But why don't I compete? Well, because, like, I'm literally sacrificing limbs.
Yeah.
And every time I get injured, I can't teach.
Exactly.
Every time I get an injury, I can't teach properly. So for me, if everything's going to be the same, then it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I don't mind being brown belt to the day I die. I don't mind being a fourth degree to the day I die. So going back to the original self-promotion thing, I don't get it. Like, it's just not me. So when I hear about someone feeling, oh, but that guy has a fifth degree, and then fuck them. Like,
Exactly.
if someone's gonna come in and be like, I don't want to assign my kid to you because the 25-year-old's got, okay, go take him over there and have fun with your laundromat karate. I'll be here. I'll be here.
I just find it interesting, mainly like again, it was mainly the Kempo, our Kempo lineage, that we have to like pay a lot for these degrees and all when we come from a system that's full of self-promotion. I mean, full of
It
it.
is. It
That
is.
was it. Jiu-jitsu, that's a little different story. You're talking about finger breaking. I know what you're talking about because I've got my amps here. I'm a guitar player. Dude, I won't do any, I only do specific gi chokes. So I use my, I've broken this knuckle so many times, it's crazy. I won't use this hand. I do no gi techniques and head control. I can't break my fingers. I'm a professional musician as well. I can't break my fingers on my left hand. But yeah, I know what you mean, man. I've broken this knuckle so many times, it's ridiculous. And just have to watch my grips. So I try to do, even with the gi on when I roll, I do no gi gripping because I'm like, man, I'm not breaking my fingers.
So
None
no spider guard for you.
that stuff, man. You get to get your finger all up in the gi and it's twist. This hand, not having it, man. You get me in a wrist lock on this hand. I'm like, tap, you got it. Good job, man. Cool. Congratulations. You win.
Anything, I hope anybody watching enjoyed this debate. And I still stand, like, on my end on this debate, I feel that who cares? Not who cares, like who cares who's self-promoted. If you want to self-promote, that's your business, not mine. I don't care. Like, ethically, I think it's wrong, but that's your problem, not mine. And then from my end, for those of you who are wondering, oh, I got my second degree, third degree, and the stripes are just so important to you. Like, come on, re really reevaluate. I hope you reevaluate how your life is going, because nobody cares, bro. Like, really, outside,
Exactly.
go take this cover. You want to look,
Oh, dude,
see
it.
how you want to see how ridiculous you look? Bring that up when you go to work. Go to work, and when you're at work at the water cooler or wherever the fuck you work or at the construction site, bring it up to your coworkers. Tell them how upset you are that you don't have a fourth degree in Kenpo or Brazilian jiu-jitsu, and they're gonna laugh at you. Or they might not laugh at your face, but when you walk away, they're laughing at how silly you are. That's all I gotta say. That mic drop.
I agree. I'm with you. It's just the Kempo thing is always just kind of, it's always been, again, we come from a long line of self-promoters and the Kempo family. You don't know who did what. And it's like, but yet we still have to pay somebody who probably self-promoted so we can wear a stripe. And then it's like, just train, do your best, be active, contribute to the art.
Yeah, and I think
It is.
that's what I would say. Just focus on teaching. If you're a black belt already, and just focus on teaching. That really should be the only thing on your on your mind, in my opinion.
And really train. Unfortunately, I've seen a lot of Kempo of all style masters that's just like, I'm sorry, they're not. You could probably, if even if you didn't want to fight them, make them run for like a minute and they're going to be out of gas and you can just kick the crap out of them. So it's like, toe the line out there, Kempo guys. Make represent our art well. Don't be a slacker. So.
Remember, a doctor recommendation of 30 minutes of walking or running 5 days a week goes a long way. That's all I'm going to
Exactly.
say. All right.
Exactly.
Well, I want to thank Andy Henson for coming out and covering the topic of when is it okay, if ever, to self-promote. And for those of
Can't
you
wait to
who,
see the comments on
yeah,
it
we'll
that
see. Yeah, I know. Like,
we.
last time, a guy went on a long dissertation about Valeri in the comments last time about why he deserves a 10th degree. But yeah, if you want to write a dissertation in the comments, feel free. I'm totally open. And I don't if you go in my comments, you'll notice I don't really argue with people, and I'm very open to you putting your thoughts on this. So what are your thoughts on this as we end this? Is it okay to self-promote? Yes or no? Does it really matter? Please share your opinion, share your thoughts. Let's have a discussion, and we'll catch you all next time.